This is Frankly MSP, where managed service providers get real.
Hey, and welcome to episode 25 of Frankly MSP, the podcast for managed service providers who want to boost their productivity, efficiency, and profitability. I'm your host, Jennifer Tribe. My guest on the podcast today is Doug Hazelman, the VP of Technical Marketing at Cloudberry. Doug has spent more than 20 years in the software industry. Perhaps most notably, he was an early employee at Veeam and helped grow that company to the industry heavyweight it is now. Doug and I are going to be talking about building a personal brand, a brand around you as an MSP owner or leader, why you would want to do that, and how to get started doing it. What's particularly interesting to me about this episode is how Doug is using the techniques he's going to talk about by coming on the Frankly MSP podcast as a guest. He reached out to me on Twitter asking if we were looking for guests, and now here he is on the show. He's getting his name out there as an expert on branding and marketing issues for MSPs, and he's getting the Cloudberry name out there as well, the company he's currently with. Those are things he's recommending MSPs do with the techniques we're going to discuss. So this is kind of a meta episode with takeaways at a couple of levels. But before we get to that good stuff, we of course turn to our friends Richard Tubb and Carl Palachuk for a look at what's going on in the world through an MSP lens.
You're listening to Frankly MSP, brought to you by Avic Networks.
Hey folks, Richard Tubb here at home in Newcastle upon Tyne in the northeast of the UK. And as always, I'm joined by my good friend and MSP expert, Carl Palachuk. How are you doing there, Carl?
Very, very good. Nice warm day in Sacramento.
How was your trip to CompTIA in Washington, D.C.?
It was delightful. In particular, they had a reception at the National Air and Space Museum. So that's always just such a great place to go, but it's even better when you can walk around with a little food and a drink in your hand.
Yeah, I saw the photos. Very jealous. So we'll talk about what's going on this week. There's a definite security theme to what we want to talk about. But before we jump into the two stories that have grabbed our mutual attention, I want to rewind a little bit and go back to episode 21 of the Frankly MSP podcast. And we talked, you and I, about an experiment, a hugely scientific experiment, wasn't it, Carl? And it was our old friend, Amazon Echo. And specifically, we were talking about what happens when the Echo device and also Google Home and all the other devices that are out there, do they actually listen to you in between when you give them the command? And so we gave a little experiment. Perhaps you could give us an overview of what that was, Carl.
Basically, we mentioned a few keywords, and the idea was to see if people would report having seen advertisements for these things over the next week or so, in the next couple of days. The interesting thing is we got a comment on the site, and I'll just send folks to the Frankly MSP podcast. And if you go to 021, scroll all the way down to the bottom, and you'll see Andy's comment that basically they were having a conversation about cleaning the gutters, and suddenly they see advertisements for gutter covers. I've noticed, and I let me know if this is true in the UK as well, but I've noticed ads on the radio where they say, just tell your smart speaker to go to Johnson Insurance Company, almost as if they wanted to say, okay, Google, take me to...
Oh, and in fact, did I hear a device jumping off in the background there? I think it did.
My phone just did that. Yes. So I'm like, no, Google, don't do that.
Yeah, but this is a really interesting comment from Andy. Andy, thanks for leaving that comment there. So first of all, he said, thanks for cleaning out the gutters. Sorry, that was his mother-in-law said that. And a few minutes later, his phone starts serving up adverts for gutter covers. And secondly, right. And this is even more bizarrely, isn't it, Carl? You and I are old enough, and apparently Andy is as well, to remember a device called the iOmega Zip Drive.
I've got one.
Which was maybe a successor to tape drives and a precursor to offsite backup and what have you. But yeah, Andy goes on to say that he was talking to a friend about zip drives, and then a few minutes later, he gets adverts, recommendations on Amazon for zip drives. Now, this is absolutely crazy because zip drives, they haven't been sold for many, many years now, have they?
Right, exactly.
So Andy, as well as putting, I presume, a foil hat on his head, it's certainly what I would do. He said he went into his settings, searched for app permissions, and then turned off all the microphone options for the various apps. I do not blame you, Andy, based on what you've told me there. interesting. And again, I'm of the school of thought here, Carl, that this is the reticular activation system in the human brain, that those adverts were perhaps always there, but we didn't notice them before. I know you're the opposite end of the spectrum, aren't you? You do think these devices are listening to us.
I think some of them are listening, and maybe not listening in detail. Like, they're not recording this conversation, but I believe they're looking for keywords, and I believe they're filtering the metadata. So it's not quite the same as tapping in and recording your conversations, but certainly it's a privacy issue.
Just before we came on air, you shared with me a bit of swag that you brought back from the CompTIA event. Now, I'm familiar with webcam covers. So as I sit here in the studio garage, I can see my webcam and I've got a little cover over it there. So basically, no video is shared via my webcam. It's an old-fashioned solution. It's the equivalent of a piece of sticky tape across the webcam.
Right.
You came away from CompTIA with a nice little gadget that perhaps Andy, our listener, would appreciate.
You can make your own one of these, but basically it's a little piece of plastic with a metal port that it looks like it's the end of a microphone cable. The intent is that you'll put it into your microphone port and then it will disable the microphone. And that way, nobody can use software to activate your microphone on your tablet or your phone or whatever. You could just take an old microphone cord and snip off the wires and then you'll have the same thing. But this is professionally made for vendors to give out at conferences.
Yeah, just like the webcam cover, that basically blocks off your microphone, doesn't it? Unless you specifically give explicit permission, in this case, pull out the cable and make sure that it can record. So
I happen to know that some laptops you can't turn off the internal microphone. So you might disable the external microphone, but that doesn't mean you've turned off the internal microphone.
Yeah, interesting. So perhaps we're headed to a situation where all these different devices we've got, there's some way for us to physically turn them off or suppress them going forward. So anyway, we've probably spent enough time on our tinfoil hats for that one. So I want to talk about a story that is definitely real and is definitely something that MSPs are going to be concerned with. And that's the news recently that Cisco Systems have acquired Duo Security for the staggering sum of $2.35 billion. Now, I think everybody's going to be familiar with Cisco Systems, the networking company. Duo Security, I think most MSPs would have an inkling about. If you're not familiar with them, Duo Security, perhaps if we boil it down to its simplest level, are a two-factor authentication company. For anybody not familiar with 2FA, two-factor authentication, Carl, how would you best describe it to them?
Well, the easiest example is simply today when you go online to put in your code for something and it says, hey, we want to make sure it's you, and they send something to your phone. It's not 100% guarantee, but what they're trying to do is say, well, only Richard has this phone with this phone number. So we're going to send a code to that. And then that way we prove that the person sitting in front of this computer is the same person.
Yeah. And to me, and probably to you, Carl, and to most of our listeners who work in the IT industry, two-factor authentication or multi-factor authentication, it's just become a way of life, hasn't it? You know, when I sign onto Facebook, it sends me a text message to my phone. When I sign on to Google, it uses a little app, an open source app I've got on my phone called Authy to serve up a code. So it just means that if anybody finds out my password to any of these devices, then I've got a second factor of authentication that the person who's got my password can't log on unless they also own the device that serves up these codes as well. So Duo Security, £2.35 billion, it's cost Cisco, which is a flabbergasting number. But just to give some context to that, Duo's channel business grew 600% in 2017. And this is due in, a large part due to the company sort of doubling down on their work with managed service providers and security solution providers as well. So if you're in the MSP space, you're not aware of Duo Security, or even more scary, you're not doing things with two-factor authentication with your clients, I think this is a clear highlighter that you really should be looking at this space.
Well, and if you think about the money, I think sometimes MSPs don't focus enough on ways that they can add additional recurring revenue. And security is absolutely a way to do that. There's so many opportunities, and every single one of your clients needs it. period.
Yeah, they absolutely. Just so do. I think this is a huge opportunity. Remains to be seen how the Cisco purchase of Duo is going to affect those relationships with managed service providers. But regardless, there are a lot of two-factor authentication companies out there. So if you're an MSP, I would strongly encourage you to look into that space. And while we're on the subject of security, you picked up on a story this week, didn't you, Carl, that I think has got application all over the world.
Well, yes, there's a interesting article we're going to point to about how states are adopting more and more data protection laws, essentially in response to or on the heels of GDPR. So a lot of times we send stuff over to the UK, rock and roll and the Mario Brothers or whatever. Well, this is definitely one that's coming in the other direction. So the data protection today is becoming so huge. It's so funny. You may remember maybe 10 years ago where people said privacy is a thing of the past. Forget it. We're going on social media. Privacy is a thing of the past. Well, in the last 2 years, yes, privacy's back. How. So we've got a couple of links. One is to this kind of roundup of things that are going on this year. Many, many states have legislation in the works to basically require that you and your clients all protect their clients' data and your clients' data. There's a lot of things where we think, well, it's annoying if somebody gets data off of my laptop. But if that data includes your name, your address, your birth date, maybe some other key pieces of information, it's the basis for stealing your identity. And people are now stealing identity 1,000 and 10,000 at a time. Every time there's a breach of HIPAA or anything else, it's an opportunity for somebody to start opening accounts in your name and so forth. This is a huge thing that is, again, an opportunity for managed service providers to come in and help their clients with their personal data protection.
Now, I think this can only be a good thing. I mean, GDPR, whether you love it, whether you loathe it, it's here and it's here to stay. And so the report we're talking about, we'll include all these in the show notes. This is from dataprotectionreport.com, and it talks about US states passing data protection laws on the heels of GDPR, basically GDPR-like data protection laws for all of the 50 states. So yeah, as you say, it's an opportunity, isn't it, for MSPs? GDPR here in Europe has been and gone. We are still dealing with the consequences of that. I think it's still an opportunity for MSPs. And certainly now that all 50 states have enacted similar sort of data protection laws, hopefully US MSPs can start to see some of the opportunities that European MSPs have been capitalizing on recently.
I know you've done business with companies in Europe. So have I. And the first few times I was sent GDPR paperwork, it was a big, fat document that I didn't understand, and there's no way I'm going to read it. It's literally as if somebody sent me an insurance policy and said, let us know what you think. And I'm like, I have no idea what to do. And I literally just ignored it until they bugged me to the point of, look, if you want to do business with us, you have to fill this out. But the things you actually have to fill out are very small, and it would help a lot if they would just highlight those in yellow and say, I need this, this, and this.
The good news is for most MSPs, certainly that you and I know, Carl, GDPR, the 50 states enactments that we've been talking about on today's show, this is just enforcing the common sense rules that we as MSPs have talked about to our clients for an awful long time. Of course, the downside is the clients have just not listened to us in a lot of cases. But now that it's actually law, legislation in most parts of the world, this is a good thing. So that's what's been going on this week. Carl, where are you off to next? What's happening for you?
I am going to hang around for a couple of weeks, and then I'm off to the Channel Pro conference in Boston. So that's September 5th.
Fantastic. I will be across to Boston myself for the Continuum Navigate Summit towards the end of September. Are you going to be anywhere around those part of the world when I'm visiting, Carl? Can we get together?
I didn't know you were going to be there. I'm speaking at Continuum, so I will be happy to see you there.
Well, there you go. Perhaps we can do another live episode. What do you think?
Oh, that would be very fun.
Yes, we'll see if we can get that working then. So thank you for joining us. That's what's been going on this week, and we'll look forward to speaking to you again next time.
You're listening to Frankly MSP.
You'll find links to the resources Carl and Richard discuss in today's show notes at avik.com/frankly MSP/025. Now we come to my interview with Doug Hazelman of Cloudberry about building a personal brand within your MSP business. Hi, Doug. Welcome to Frankly MSP.
Great. Thanks for having me. Excited to be here.
Yeah, we're going to be talking about branding today and building a personal brand within your MSP business. You actually have an interesting take on this. You say that an MSP should be building a personal brand rather than a brand around the company. Why is that?
Well, it obviously depends on the size of the MSP, right? If you're working at a large MSP, it's a little bit more difficult. But if you're kind of an owner operator, maybe it's you're by yourself or you have three or four other people, I always view that it's best to build your personal brand. People need to know who you are. And obviously, you're trying to attract customers, but even within the broader community, the MSP community, you can become a subject matter expert in a number of different areas. And what that will do is elevate yourself and your brand, your own self. And then you can use that as you go to acquire customers to say, look, I've been published in all these different areas. Basically, I'm popular.
And so you think MSP should focus on building their brand first within the MSP community rather than within a customer community?
You could approach it either way. My view is if you build it within the MSP community, and a little known fact about how vendors operate. And I think we all know that content is king and content marketing is great. And vendors are always looking for content. And sometimes they will pay for said content. So if you have some expertise in a certain area, and maybe you start blogging about it, or you approach a vendor and say, hey, would you like me to write a white paper? They'll be like happy to have original content. And you can actually start building your brand and things like that by being author of different content. As you go out for customer acquisition, you can say, look, I'm published in all these different areas. Here's the white papers I've written and done these types of things on security or backups or whatever the case may be. You're establishing yourself as a subject matter expert, which is good both within the MSP community as because you're seen now as an expert and you get more and more attention that way, but then also from a customer acquisition standpoint. Now, kind of the flip side, what you mentioned is building your brand within your community, then there's multiple ways of doing that as well. And it's not always going to be tied to your job. Unless you can get on the local news media as an expert, that's kind of far-fetched. But there are some opportunities like that, especially, you know, it depends on how large your community is and what area you're trying to focus on. But you can become experts in those areas and even volunteering. Volunteer your IT expertise at not-for-profits and some of those types of things can get your word out there and get people to know you and trust you and understand who you are within that community.
So you've mentioned a couple of things there. You mentioned blogging, writing some articles, doing some volunteer work. How does one get started? I mean, I imagine this can seem pretty overwhelming if you've never done anything like this before. Where do you even start?
I wish there was a thing that said start here with a little guide that tells you exactly everything to do. The easiest way to get started is just to start blogging, really, and just producing your own content. You can get a space on a blog somewhere and do it. The hardest part about that is doing it consistently. You know, you have to set yourself to a schedule and you have to generate content. Don't worry about how many hits you're getting when you first start off. You've got to build that blog. You've got to build that content before you start seeing things roll in. But as you are blogging and creating that content, then you want to go to social media and make sure that you're promoting that content as yourself and say, hey, look at this blog post that I wrote on this, using hashtags and things like that to start to draw interest. And social media is Twitter. It can be Facebook, although Facebook's a little bit more difficult. Reddit is definitely another area that there's an MSP subreddit that's extremely popular. There are some Facebook groups for MSPs that you can request to join and post content there as well. You have to kind of create, and then you have to kind of get that word out there. And even on social media, even if you're not blogging, if you're in the MSP subreddit or you're in a Facebook group and you know the answer, you know, participate. Strike up conversations with the people who are hanging out in the same place that you are. One thing can lead to another and can build friendships online, maybe even offline. And it can, you know, definitely help to further your career and your own personal brand within that specific community.
Getting into social media and doing a lot of writing, that's something that could suck up a lot of your time. How do you know how much time to devote to that and how much is too much?
There is no right answer to that. If your business is suffering because you're spending too much time writing content or spending it in forums and on Reddit, then that's obviously too much time focused on that. You have to strike a balance, right? You have to keep the lights on, you have to keep your business running. But if you have some free time And I know people sometimes who, as they're driving around, they have a recorder and they'll dictate, you know, you have an idea, you dictate it, you record it as you're driving or whatever. And then you go back later and then you listen to it and then you can formulate it, the thoughts into typing and write the words and those types of things is another great way to do that.
What's the payoff here? Like you talked about being able to say to a client, hey, I'm respected in this industry because, but really for investing the time in it, what's the payoff for the MSP? Is it going to be more business? Is it going to be, it's easier to generate leads?
It's about having that respect, I guess, from the industry versus going up to a client and saying, hey, I'm Bob. I run an IT shop. You should let me run your IT. And I'd be like, well, who are you? Right? If they don't know you, it's very difficult. But if you can say, oh, this is me. This is what I've done. You know, obviously you want to have some success stories from other clients to show that, hey, yes, Bob is really good. He knows what he's talking about. He's helped us out a lot. It all kind of comes into that packaging of when you're talking to a prospective client or customer of saying, yes, this is who I am. And the other thing is content goes back to searches and Google and all that type of stuff. You know, the more organic the content is versus paying for AdWords is, it's tough, it's expensive. But if you're generating very specific content within a specific geographic area that's of interest to a local business who might be looking for IT help, then they may find you organically just through a search engine.
So if you're an MSP and you're investing time in this, you know, you're taking the time to write, you're taking the time to be on social media, how do you know if it's working for you?
You'll know if it's working for you as you start to build a network. That's kind of the interesting thing about social media is you get out of it what you put into it. So if you're putting into it, you should be getting something out of it. You should be forming some types of relationships with people, whether it's other MSPs and just kind of spitballing ideas back and forth, or if you're focusing on your community, getting some interaction with people within the community and them recognizing that, hey, you're an expert. The worst thing about social media is if you put all this stuff out there and no one responds, no one replies. Then it's like, well, does anybody even see this as a waste of time? But if you can get some positive interaction with people, that's kind of the best way to do it. You can be an introvert in person, but an extrovert on social media. I know a lot of people like that. So don't think, well, you know, I'm afraid to talk to people, whatever. You know, just you got to put yourself out there. That's one of the things I've learned in my career is the more you kind of put yourself out there and you engage with other people within your industry or with prospective customers, you know, that you may, you know, want to meet, you build yourself up, you build yourself a brand. And when you actually get to an event or you go somewhere and get to meet people live and in person and they know you and you can have a conversation because you've formed this relationship online and on social media, that's when you know that all this work that I'm putting into it is really paying off.
And I think it's important to note, like we came into this interview and I was thinking personal brand from the perspective of generating leads, getting more business. But there's a lot to be said for meeting and interacting with your MSP peers, whether that's because there might be an opportunity to collaborate with someone down the road, or even if it's just to have someone to bounce ideas off of and ask questions of.
Yeah. If you look at the MSP subreddit, so much of that is just people asking advice, right? Saying, hey, you know, I've got this situation. What do you recommend? I'm going to look at these routers. Do you have any experience with it? And just joining in that conversation. Although one of the things I have noticed, and one of the recommendations I'll make if you're building your personal brand is you want to try to use the same handle, I guess, across all the different outlets. So if you're one thing on Reddit, another thing on Twitter, something different on other platforms, then it's really hard for people to kind of put it all together and say, hey, this is actually the same person that I know from Reddit or I know some Facebook or from wherever. So it's really important to consolidate your usernames, so to speak, so people know who you are. It doesn't have to reveal your personal name or information. Just make sure that it's identifiable as unique, but it's the same across all the different platforms.
And can you give us an example of an MSP who has done this well, in your opinion, who's built this kind of personal brand?
Tom Lawrence comes to mind. He has this incredible trove of information on YouTube videos. He runs an MSP out of Michigan, but he's done all these YouTube videos and he's got tens of thousands of followers on YouTube, so much so that he's built a studio dedicated to it and everything. He puts out great information for techies, right? It's not necessarily aimed just at MSPs or anything else, but he loves open source, he loves Linux and all these types of things. And he's done a tremendous job of getting himself out there and being very well respected within the community as a go-to expert on a lot of different areas.
And that's interesting because YouTube video, right? So it doesn't necessarily have to be writing a blog post. It could be a podcast, or it could be a video, or whatever sort of speaks to your strengths.
And even podcasts. We're doing a podcast right now. If you listen to a podcast, ask them if you can be a guest. Typically, you know, especially if it's a vendor-sponsored podcast, they're always looking for guests. And if you can get real-world experience, then that's great. And another great way to get yourself out there, get your name out there.
Let's go back to this idea that it can help you generate leads. Let's say you've built this reputation within your MSP community, so you're known there. Now, how do you parlay that into something that's going to resonate with your target market?
Well, that's where I think on your webpage that you have for your business, you include information about all the different areas and things that you do. Now, if you do that and you're going on podcasts talking about all your problem clients, then I wouldn't recommend that. A lot of it goes back to that organic searching and those types of things. If I go to a website for an MSP and all I see is, hey, here's the services we offer and here's our contact form, click that, and that's about all they have. It's kind of boring. It doesn't tell me anything about them. So the more about information that you can have on that website and the more links to say, you know, these are all the things that we've done either within the local community or within the technical community in general, then that shows me, hey, they're active. They know what they're talking about and people see them as experts. Is it going to get someone to click on your website by doing some of this stuff? It might, depending on what outlet you're using. But definitely once they get to that website, it definitely adds to that, hey, I'm an expert. I know what I'm talking about. You should pay me lots of money to manage your IT.
Yeah, it's like that social proof that marketers talk about, right? So if somebody else says you're great, then that carries a lot of weight.
It does, yes. Much more so than me saying I'm great by myself.
What about topic focus? There's so many things that you could write about or speak about or video about. How do you go about picking some strategic topics for your business?
Don't pick a topic that you know nothing about. Find a passion in technology. You know, maybe you're a wireless guru. You've configured every wireless router that's ever been made and you know how to do all these different types of settings. Then great, then write about that and do these. Maybe you specialize on a particular vendor. Maybe you're an expert on this vendor and you know all sorts of tips and tricks. So blog about that RMM platform or the PSA platform or whatever and just give back to kind of the MSP community in that way. In another instance, someone I'm talking to he specializes in security. He actually wants to help other MSPs become SSPs and focus on the security side of their business. So that's where he's looking at how does he kind of establish himself as the security expert so that he can actually get other MSP customers to help them audit what they're doing and get them up to speed so they can actually expand their business on the security side. There's a lot of different areas, but you have to pick something obviously that you know about and something that you're somewhat passionate about. That's what comes through the most is when you have that passion and that expertise, it's fairly obvious when people see it.
What would you say is the number one pitfall that people run into when they start down this journey of trying to build this personal brand?
Giving up too quickly. Don't expect a bunch of clicks, you know, on your first blog post or a bunch of replies on your first tweet or your first Reddit post. It takes time. You get what you give. So you have to give a lot sometimes before that snowball starts rolling down the hill and you start getting that interaction. It's definitely something that I think sometimes people just give up on too easily. Or, you know, you think, hey, I'm going to write the best blog ever. And you write one or two articles and then you give up on it. Then it just goes by the wayside. You got to keep at it. If you give up, then you're not going to get anything out of it.
Yeah. As a content marketer myself, I would agree with that, that consistency is really key. So, you know, if you can write once a week, great. If you can't commit to that, once a month, just find the schedule that works, but stick to it. And yeah, don't expect the moon right off the bat.
Definitely.
Any parting thoughts for MSPs who are looking at building a personal brand?
Jump out there, take the dive, so to speak. And one thing I tell people all the time is it's fine to lurk. You can sign up across social media sites and stuff and lurk for a while. See what others are saying, see what others are doing. Don't have to jump right in participation. It's best sometimes just to sit back. It's kind of like when you go to a party, you get there and you look at the room, you read the room, you try to figure out, okay, where am I going to go? Who am I going to talk to? Those types of things. It's the same thing in social and some of these other areas is lurk for a while, see what's going on, and then jump in and join the conversation.
Great advice. Thanks so much for joining us today, Doug.
No problem. Thank you very much for having me on.
That was Doug Hazelman, VP of Technical Marketing at Cloudberry, a company that's doing great things with cloud-based backup. If you'd like to learn more about Doug or get in touch with him, I'll put his details in the show notes at ovik.com/franklymsp/025. Remember to subscribe to Frankly MSP in iTunes or Stitcher or your podcast app of choice to ensure you never miss a beat on your way to service provider success. Till next time, this is Jennifer Tribe. Thanks for listening.
Frankly MSP, brought to you by Ovik Networks, the most efficient and profitable way to manage your clients' networks.